You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live from the Right Side Studios. We got the local, the state, the national man. We cover down on all the issues. And like that dude just said, yes, we are. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, I'm starting number three of the Triple Dipper for the day. I'm calling it the next 2 years. And before I even get into the stack of stories that I've got printed out, this might be my most prolific amount of resourcing for the day. I mean, I've got just a ton of stuff here that I'm not sure I can even get to it all. I wanted to bring on somebody who is like an encyclopedia of political factoids. My friend Jeff Poor, executive editor for 1819 News. He also has the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5 down in the coastal areas of our state. He's been keeping his finger on the pulse of politics for quite a while. I thought, you know what, talking about the next 2 years, that's the guy I need to have on to discuss it some more. So without further ado, Jeff Poor, how you doing today, man?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm good. Just wide open. I was gone a couple of days late last week, and it feels like I was out for a week, but the studio is still here, so it's all good. Listen, the next 2 years, I mean, at least we got a Republican majority, not a supermajority by any stretch, but we got enough to at least replace the committee chairs, begin some investigations, begin holding some people accountable, at least publicly, if not, you know, truly making something happen. Number one on the list of things that are supposed to happen in the next 2 years, what are you thinking about?
I'm thinking nothing, which is, you know, like as soon as Republicans took over in 2011, it was gridlock. Sure, it was like a, you know, the hearing here and there. I'm sure there'll be way more of these oversight hearings, you know, like Fast and Furious type of things, and there was going after Obama. But what I would look for are these last minute, you know, the brinkmanship, the bills being dropped on the floor at the last minute, and you know, these kind of sketchy deals between Republican and Democrat leadership, and the White House for the next 2 years. I would not have high expectations. There is no reason, Senator, to think that that the Republicans are going to grow a spine and shut down the government for a prolonged amount of time to get what they want.
Now, and I'm curious about that. You know, the only group of guys, they're not all guys, the only group of Congress people up there that seem to have that level of at least rhetoric, but and oftentimes the backbone, is the House Freedom Caucus. And they chose not to vote for McCarthy. McCarthy's not a done deal. I mean, he's probably going to get it as Speaker, but he's got to overcome a loss of 31 votes in his own caucus, and he has to have 218 to get voted in. So what do you think? Is the Freedom Caucus going to negotiate some terms of things they want to see in order to give the vote to McCarthy?
Yeah, I think you'll see committee chairmanships, or maybe a Jim Jordan ekes in there into some kind of leadership role. The trick here is in Congress is how much money can you raise for the party's causes. How much money can you raise for the next election, 2024? That typically gets you where you need to be. But I think they're gonna have to kind of clamp down and offer some exceptions there. Or McCarthy's gonna be in trouble. But I think McCarthy will get it done ultimately.
I agree. I think he's gonna wind up being the next speaker. I would much rather see him work with the Freedom Caucus, which I think is going to be his first choice anyway, than to have to go get some Democrats to give him the vote that he needs to be Speaker. Because that would, if we see him getting Democrat votes as opposed to the Freedom Caucus votes, it does not bode well for the next 2 years at all, in my opinion.
No, it's going to be shot. I think they're wiser than that. Could Democrats sway a few Republican votes and flip it the other way? This is the James Carville idea. Are there some squishes on the moderate or left side of the Republican spectrum that would caucus with Democrats? I don't know, but, I mean, who knows? Like a Liz Cheney or an Adam Kinzinger, who would have thought 5-6 years ago that they would be the – I mean, I never thought of them as, you know, sort of the bastion of conservatism by any stretch of the imagination. But at one point, Liz Cheney was the number three Republican in the House. Are there – Republicans that might flirt with caucusing with Democrats.
You see it in Alabama. But nonetheless, listen, I'm going to go ahead and hold out hope that the Jim Jordans, that style of House Freedom Caucus member, is working behind the scenes right now to bring some things together. I think what they're looking at right now, my understanding, I talked to a guy, kind of an insider in the D.C. area, and he said that what they're looking at right now is the same things you probably heard, are stuff like, give us an opportunity to read the bills before we go to a vote. Give us the opportunity to basically vote a no confidence on a speaker if they don't do their job, and get rid of proxy voting. The things that Pelosi has been doing ad nauseum, the Freedom Caucus wants good governance as much as they want good policy, and I think those make sense, and we'll see if they get it.
Well, and I think McCarthy's generally an honorable character here. I find him much, much more appealing than Paul Ryan or John Boehner.
Oh,
even.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought John Boehner was good for that era, but he was a guy that took on the Obama administration. He was a savvy legislator, a savvy leader, but not exactly an ideological leader. What do we need from Congress right now is probably somebody that's more steeped in ideology, and you're probably going to get that a little bit more than you would with a Boehner or a Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan, just establishment Republican play. You need a Newt Gingrich ideas guy. I don't think McCarthy quite reaches that level. But at least he does sound like he's a guy that will at least be seen with the other side. You know, like McConnell and Donald Trump are not ever going to go fishing together. But we could see you could see Kevin McCarthy and Donald Trump out on the golf course swinging a golf club. I mean, it's not that far of a stretch of the imagination. So McCarthy's going to do what he's got to do to kind of get along, I think.
Well, we'll see how it goes. One of the things that I did appreciate that he said, though, Washington Examiner has a story that came out this weekend that said McCarthy has announced that he's taking Ilhan, if he gets elected to the position, he's taking Ilhan Omar off the House Foreign Affairs Committee. And that's the kind of thing, by the way, that's the kind of thing that needs to happen. I mean, how many times have we seen things like the January 6th Commission where only Pelosi's handpicked Republicans get on it? And with that whole commission needs to go away anyway. But the reality is, I love the idea of seeing Ilhan Omar taken off the Foreign Affairs Committee, and I think there's some red meat there if McCarthy will hold to it.
He has to. Politically, exactly. He has to. There's no choice. After the way they did Marjorie Taylor Greene, as you said, January 6th. I mean, whatever you think of Marjorie Taylor Greene is fine, but she's a duly elected congresswoman for that district. She speaks for those people. They voted her in, so she should have whatever committee assignments, maybe they're at the bottom of the barrel, but she should not be restricted from being on committee. So if that's going to be the rules of the game, then the rules have to apply to Eric Swalwell, to Adam Schiff, yes, to Ilhan Omar, to all of these people that have questionable backgrounds, because they wrote the new rule book, and that's how this is going to have to play out.
Totally agree. Thank you very much for putting my thoughts to your words. All right, so last couple here. One of the first ones is the investigations. You said you don't hold out much hope. I think one of the things the investigations do bring, though, is exposure. It may not gain, level of impeachment. You may not gain the level of criminal referral to a Biden DOJ. But nonetheless, you have at least the opportunity for exposure. And they say they're coming after Hunter Biden hard right now. What do you expect in that regard?
The same as Benghazi, the same as January 6th. Maybe they get some guys on process crimes. I doubt even that. The same as Fast and Furious. Don't hold out much hope for these congressional committees. Unless you have everything in your way and a willing Department of Justice, and there's no reason to think the Biden DOJ is going to be willing to play with House Republicans, then you're not going to get anything. You're going to get some oohs and ahs and some moments, perhaps, especially about Hunter Biden. But it's just going to be dismissed by the people in charge, the people in power that can make a difference as right-wing propaganda or Russian propaganda or whatever. So I just really want... And they did a number on Trump to kind of neuter him with the DOJ, but you really want change. You got to have a Republican in office who's willing to prosecute these crimes.
That is absolutely true. I do think you're right. I think there's going to wind up being the level of exposure we haven't seen before, but there's not going to be a whole lot of possible prosecution unless they find that thing. If they find that thing, that one piece of evidence that cannot be controverted, that literally is a smoking gun, then we'll see. Last question.
I would take it a step further, Senator, and I would say they got to be willing to play the power to purse string. Say, hey, either DOJ goes after this guy, or we're cutting off their funding. I mean, that's essentially what it's going to take, something along those lines.
Yes, and that would be a stretch, knowing how slim the majority is right now. But I agree. All right, last question. 2 years of Trump campaigning. Does Trump stay in the race? Does Trump prevail? Who do you see besides DeSantis that you think could actually take on Trump?
Not very many. I mean, Pompeo's been running. He's got his pack. He looks like he's raring to go. I think that's problematic. I think a Pence or Pompeo that served in the Trump administration running against Trump, it could be problematic because, I mean, they're going to say, hey, I was right there with you. You were not that impressive. And I, you know, people are going to be loyal to Trump no matter what, but that certainly doesn't help. So if Trump has a bunch of guys from his own administration running against him, that is just going to divide, I think, the MAGA kind of wing of the party. So people may just get tired of it. But right now, you still got to put the money on Trump. He's the odds-on favorite.
All right. You are spot on, as always. Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5, and Executive Editor, 1819 News. We appreciate you, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right, take care. All right, there's a good intro to the next little bit here on the show. And by the way, if you're texting in, the text line is still open, 833-687-4448. You're also welcome to call in on that same number, 833-68-RIGHT. We got the question out there right now. Is tomorrow, because it's a short work week for a lot of you, is tomorrow hump day and we play the camel? Or is it always Wednesday? and the text are flooding in like you would not believe on this question. All right, listen. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.